God, I'm praying right now, God, that, you know, as we just listen to these words, that, you know, this whole idea of giving up something that means something to us, this idea of laying down, opening up and saying, God, I'm gonna relinquish something. God, there's something that happens inside of us when we do that. And so today, God, you know, as we continue this crazy journey, I mean, we're on this crazy journey, and you're changing us, you're doing things inside of us, you're helping us to rearrange our priorities. And yet today, God, as we talk about sacrifice, as we talk about this thing of giving something up, God, that's something that we don't do easily. In fact, for many of us, we don't even recognize that. We live such a life of entitlement that we think we sacrifice, but we really don't. So again, I'm going to ask that you would just help us to grasp this today. In fact, I'm going to ask that you give me the right words and work beyond the words that I share today. Because God, if we don't grasp what it means to sacrifice, then this crazy dream will never become a reality. And it's just as simple as that. And so God, I'm just going to ask that you move in your name. Amen. So we're in week 5 of this crazy journey, and if you're joining us today, we want to say welcome. You know, you can join right in. You're going to capture a heart of what this community is about here at Cross Point, see where we're going. And, you know, we were talking about the realities of accomplishing this God-sized dream, and this dream that's before us, and what it's going to require of each and every one of us to consider ourselves a part of this community. And I'm shooting straight with you during this series. In fact, I shoot straight every week. I try to be as open and authentic as possible. And yet during this series, saying every week, you know, that one of our goals is helping you come to a place where you're making a sacrificial financial commitment, 3-year commitment, above and beyond your normal giving in order to help fuel, in order to help fund this crazy dream that'll help us build in increased ways into people and create increased life change in this community. And so, you know, we're not manipulating, I'm not guilting, we're not about that here at Cross Point, but what we are doing is we're challenging. And, you know, when we challenge, I get pretty excited about what God's doing. I get excited about what I see happening right now within this community as people are dealing and wrestling with difficult, difficult stuff. And so, you know, as we say each week, we're in the midst of a journey. I mean, we're on a journey right now, and hopefully as you've been going through these last few weeks, you've been getting some clarity. You know, we said a few weeks ago, you can't make a decision of what you're going to do, what you're going to financially bring to the table to help make this dream become a reality, because it's a 7-week process of us listening, of us praying, of us, you know, saying, God, what is it that you're asking of me? And then we come to the point where we have to obey and decide if we're going to do what God asks us. And on June 6th, the data is going to come in. We're going to see if our hearts are with God or if our hearts are in our pocket. And so, you know, we're on this journey where God is doing stuff within us. And you know, each week I'm putting some principles and planting some seeds that you have to wrestle with and take home and kind of talk and process through during the week. But the reality is it's up to you and it's up to God what takes root. And so, we can't control that. We don't want to control that. We want to plant the seeds, and we believe God's going to do something meaningful and impactful through this community. And so, you know, for Julie and I, you know, as we started this journey, I mean, it's been really fascinating because, you know, we've known for months that this journey was coming. We've known for months that this season would be a time when Cross Point prepares to take that next big step, the next defining moment in our history where we move to that next location over the next couple years. And you know, as Julie and I have kind of processed through what that means for us, you know, over the last few years, we've continued to kind of reduce our budget, reduce our expenses so we can be better stewards of what God has entrusted to us. And as a part of that, you know, we said, you know, as we approach this journey, as we started this journey about 5 weeks ago, we looked at each other and said, we don't know what we're going to do. We don't know how we're going to give above and beyond what we're already giving because we're already maxed out on what's available in our income. I mean, we looked at each other and said, you know, we don't know how it's going to work. We believe that God's going to somehow reveal that to us, but we don't see it right now. I mean, that's one of the cool things about being on a journey is what if we would have just after a couple weeks said, okay, we have to make a decision. I don't know where we would have been because we didn't know how that was going to work. And yet over the last week or so, over the last week and a half, 2 weeks, we began to get some clarity in that. We began to see, God's began to reveal to us as we go through this process of where and how we can begin to make a significant contribution. And that's part of the significance of a journey is we're going somewhere. God's doing some things in our hearts as we've been praying, as we've been listening, as we've been processing, and ultimately as we come to that point of obeying. And so today we're talking about sacrifice. And you know, as I said, this factor is going to be the one defining thing that will make or break this journey. I mean, whether or not we take this next, you know, step to this God-sized dream, and God already has it worked out how it's going to happen. The question is, are we going to come to the place of being willing to bring to the table what it is that God is leading us to? In fact, John Maxwell, great financial leader, Christian leader throughout the world, really. In fact, we're partnering with his organization, Enjoy Stewardship Services, as kind of our coaching consulting group to guide us through this process of raising this kind of capital. You know, he said something through in his 21 Indisputable Laws of Leadership. He said, sacrifice always precedes success. Because if you've ever built anything, if you've ever started anything from the ground up, you understand that there's always some kind of deep sacrifice that goes before the success that you experience later down the line. I mean, you're sitting here today because there are people before you that sacrifice at an enormous level, and they pray that you would eventually be in the seat you're in today. And so there's two things I want to talk about today when it comes to sacrifice. And for many of us, you know, as we're processing what we can financially give. We've asked you to do that. You're actively doing that. You're open. You're having honest and open conversations with God about this. And I know for some of us, we're talking about, what can I move around? What expenses can I shift around a little bit so that I have some portion of what you've entrusted me with to give back above and beyond what I'm already given? And that's a good thing. That's what we all need to be doing. But I want to be really clear. That's not sacrificial. That's rearranging how my money is used. As I think about this, I think about what this means for Julie and I. I've begun to really realize, and in this great country, man, I love living in the United States of America. I don't believe there's any better place to live in the world. And yet, what I also know is I don't know that I really grasp what it means to sacrifice. I don't know that I really grasp what it means to live in a sacrificial way. I say at times that I'm sacrificing. I don't know that I'm really sacrificing. I mean, I don't know that I'm really in touch with what our forefathers did when they began this institution. I don't know that I fully understand these revolutionary who had a dream one day for a new kind of union, a new kind of experience, a new kind of nation where basically people were created equal and lived in a way that honored that. I don't know if I fully understand the price that was paid, even though I reap the benefits of it each and every day. And so as I've wrestled through this, I've just began thinking. I said, you know, I feel like I've kind of lost touch with that. I don't know that there's all that much in my life that I deny myself of. I mean, when I see things, when I see something that I think I need, I say, well, I'm owed that. I mean, I'm entitled to have that. And I look around me, especially in Fishers. I mean, in Fishers, we live in a land of plenty. And I look around, I think there's just certain things that I should have as a part of my life. And so I've been wrestling through what that looks like and what does it really mean for me to sacrifice. And so I've been coming back to this Ecclesiastes, the writer of wisdom in the book of Ecclesiastes in the Old Testament. We find some interesting words. In fact, I've really connected with them over the last weeks in chapter 2. Here's what he says. He says, I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. My heart took delight in all of my work, and this was the reward for my labor. You have to ask yourself, is there ever a moment where there's something that I desire and I refuse myself that thing? I mean, as I think about my life, there's not too many moments where I do that. He goes on, he says, yet I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, and everything was meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun. This is a guy that built amazing things, did amazing things. Why did he say everything was meaningless? It's because there was no investment from him in this. He simply rearranged things. He said, there's nothing I've denied myself of, because there's something that happens when we deny ourselves. When I deny myself of something and I invest it in something else, then I begin to have an ownership in that new thing because I gave up something for something else. In fact, this is the first idea of sacrifice. Sacrifice is giving up something I love because there's something else that I love more. And there's this amazing thing that happens internally in us when we choose to do this. We choose to say, I'm gonna deny myself something. I'm going to give something up so I can invest in something that I love more. All of a sudden, we begin to have a sense of ownership in this. You know, in the last year, outside of paying basic bills and utilities and in our mortgages, you know, many of us spent tens of thousands of dollars on things that basically, in the end, were meaningless. I mean, think to yourself for a moment. Think about a few things that you purchased for $100 or more over the last few years. I mean, think of three things and think about how much meaning you're finding out of those things right now. I mean, just in your mind, just think of two or three things. I mean, you think about it, it's hard to do, isn't it? I mean, it's hard to come up with three things that I can sit here right now and say, I spent $100 on this, and I still find an incredible meaning in that purchase. Why is that? It's because these things were cool for a short time. I mean, they're the thing that we thought we had to have. It was the next new model of the iPhone or now the iPad. I mean, it's the next new thing. As soon as I get this, I'm going to be happy. And then as soon as we have it, all of a sudden we're like, well, you know, I had it. I used it for a short time. It sits on the shelf, and it's no longer really meaningful to me. Because outside of the basic necessities, we invest ourselves in things that in the end don't bring a lot of meaning. You know, I love this verse this week because this idea of denying myself of something, because as I'm looking around, I'm beginning to see people doing this for the first time. I mean, as I've been in my life group with conversations with our life group, our crazy group over these last few weeks, I've been hearing people talk about the things that they're giving up. I've been hearing people talk about something that's been a normal part of their life for like 15 years. They've never known life without this thing. They're saying, I think that this is what God's calling me to give up. I think God's trying to release me of something that I think that I need so I can invest in something that I love more. It's the coolest thing. It's the coolest thing to see the joy that comes when the decision is actually made to take this kind of step. Because this is sacrifice. It's saying there's something I love, and I'm going to forgo it because there's something else that I love more. As I shared with you a couple weeks ago, Julie and I, as we process through this, I've kind of felt that I owe an explanation to you of what our investment in this crazy campaign is going to be, what our 3-year commitment is going to be to this thing. Because, what I understand is, as a leader of this thing, is kind of the person steering the ship at Crosspoint, I'm not going to ask you to do something that I'm not myself doing or preparing to do. And so Julie and I, we're financial leaders here. We tithe off our income. We give 10% of what we make back to fuel this thing and to do all the cool, fuel the life change we see around here, all the cool things that happen out of Crosspoint. But we know that we need to be giving above and beyond. As I said a few weeks ago, we didn't know how that was going to happen. But over the last weeks, we've been processing what that looks like for us. And I'm not going to share this with you to say, hey, look what we're doing. I'm sharing this with you because I feel like as the leader of this thing, if I'm asking you to do this, then you need to know that we're doing it too. And so over the last few weeks, we've just began this conversation and began to see where it is that we are going to be able to find some of what God has entrusted to us to go above and beyond what we're already given. And something that God revealed to us is over the next 3 years, we're going to have some of the loans that we currently have, some of the payments that currently go out, they're going to amortize, they're going to be completed, our commitments are going to be completed to them, and we're going to be able to turn those funds into the crazy campaign to make a significant investment in what God's doing here. Right now, we say, hey, there's no way we can do it, but we can even see in the next months and years, over the next 3 years, how that's going to happen to make a sizable contribution. And it was just amazing. It's like the light bulb went on when we came to that point. We said, wow, we actually can participate in this now. What I can also say is we've already earmarked those funds for things that we need. And so in order for us to do that, it means that we're going to forgo some things that otherwise we already had plans for, some things that our family needs. It's something like, we haven't started saving for our kids' college yet. We still have 10 years before that comes. That's going to be put off for another 3 years so we can invest in a new level here. At least for the next 2 years, our cars, our 10-year-old vehicles, are going to have to make it for at least 2 out of the next 3 years in order for this to become a reality for us. I mean, we're going to have to trust that God shows up in order for us to fulfill what we're being led to do. But when we sat back and looked at that, it's a sizable contribution, but we said, that's not sacrificial. That's simply just moving around finances that we're already paying out and redirecting them as they come due. And so we said, what's it mean for us to be sacrificial in this? I mean, what does it mean for us to give up something right now that we love because there's something else that we love more? So we started processing through that a little bit, and about a week and a half ago, we were sitting at dinner with our kids, And Julie brought it up. I started the conversation in the morning on the way to school, and then at dinner, Julie brought it up again with the kids and said, guys, I don't know if you know what we're doing at Crosspoint, but we're asking the entire community, and your kids are learning about this. They're learning about what we're doing in this crazy dream in kids' environments. And they began to hear about this. We said, one of the things we're doing is we're asking people to sacrifice something, to turn something that we enjoy and to take that money and to invest it in this crazy dream at Crosspoint so we can have a new home for you to bring your friends. And we said, as a family, we feel like we need to give something up. We need to sacrifice something. We need to give up something we really enjoy. And so we threw it out on the table. We didn't know they were going to respond to it. We said, what would you guys think about giving up Playhouse Disney and Hannah Montana and all the things you enjoy from, DirecTV that come into our home for over $80 a month? Dead silence. I mean, I'll be honest with you, there's dead silence for me too because I love Hannah Montana and I love Playhouse Disney because it's like a babysitter for for 30 minutes, not 3 hours, 30 minutes. And, it's one of those moments where I can turn it on and I know that I can get something done at home. I mean, I love those things. And Macy, our 7-year-old, immediately the wheels started turning and she just sat there quietly. Now, Matt's our impulsive one. He's 5. He's our impulsive one. He kind of looked at us. He started nice. Yeah, Dad, we can do that. We can do this. We can do that, Dad. We can do that. And then Macy eventually emerged from her kind of quiet processing. And she said, does that mean that if we start giving that to Crosspoint, does that mean we're going to have the same place, kind of like when we take our friends to Crosspoint right now, we have cool stuff back there, and our friends want to come and learn about God? Are we going to still have that same kind of place? I said, absolutely. In a way that's going to be in a way that we believe that more of your friends are going to experience. She said, yeah, that's what we want to do. And I kind of took a big gulp. I mean, Julie and I, we kind of gulped and we're like, is this going to make our kids like social oddballs, not having like cable TV coming into their homes? I mean, are they going to not know how to talk about this thing? But we came to the point of saying, this is sacrificially one of the things on top of our other significant giving that we're going to rearrange in our finances. This is the sacrificial piece. We're going to say, we're going to give this up. It's a sizable contribution over the course of 3 years. So these are the ways that we're saying this is what our family's doing to come to that three-year financial commitment, to come to a dollar figure that we feel allows us to make a significant contribution. And then we were left with this other part of the challenge, which is on June 6th, our celebration weekend, where we're going to be making these commitments to also bring a first fruits offering, kind of this one-time cash donation, one-time cash gift above and beyond what we normally give, that's going to be kind of start the giving to the crazy campaign. And we're asking everybody in the community to consider, what can you bring as a one-time gift in addition to a three-year financial commitment? Total that up, and that's going to be your total commitment for the campaign. And we started wrestling through, what does that mean for us? What's the one thing that I love in my life that I can part with to make a sizable contribution with? And so I wrestled, and I began to get clear to me, and I kind of just shut it out. It wasn't something I was interested in going to. And so just this week, I began to get proactive. I began to respond to what God was kind of urging me on. And so this week, I liquidated something I've had for 20 years, something I've loved for 20 years. It's been a central part of my life, something I love doing with people around me. And I texted to one of my friends, my 500 ticket, 2 weeks from today is yours. I said, my seat that I love in the Northwest Vista, I paid a good amount of money for, that I love. I have emotional, I mean, I love the 500. I love, talked to many of you yesterday at the crazy parties about, you know, racing, and I love this time of year. I said, you know, it's one of the things God just led me to say, you know what, Kurt, this is the thing you love, and this is something you can give up to make that cash donation or be a part of that. And I'm going to tell you, I struggle with it. I'd be lying to you if I told you I didn't second guess, and I didn't every now and then think, well, is there something else I could do to make up that amount of money that I'm going to be giving on top of maybe a little bit more? And the moment that I hit send and sent that to my friend and said, it's yours if you want it, my heart just sank. I mean, it's just this empty feeling, and it sank again when I got the response back that said it was accepted. I mean, it was a hard week for me. I mean, this is the reality of, this is sacrifice right here. And that's part of what I'm bringing on that day. And you know, and the reality is I was stuck wrestling through another Old Testament passage as I was reading through the prophet Haggai and reading what he was sharing with this community. And here's what this prophet said the word came to this prophet Haggai, and he was sharing with the people of this day. He said, is it a time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house remains in ruin? What he's basically saying is, you know, we're like, well, who's living in paneled houses? I mean, that's the slums, right? We don't live in paneled houses in Fishers. Well, in that day, living in a paneled house was like, man, you were living in the good neighborhood if you lived in a paneled house. And he's basically saying, hey, are you comfortable living in the paneled house while the house of God remains in ruins? In our case, while the house of God remains unbuilt. The prophet went on, now, this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You've planted much, but you've harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You put on clothes, but are not warm. You earn wages only to put them in a purse that has holes in it. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. And what I begin to realize is what God's saying here is your ways indicate your priority. I mean, what, the way that you go indicates what your priority is. And you know, when I was thinking about what it means for me to sacrifice, God doesn't need me to fund this crazy dream, but he chooses to invite me to be a part of it. If God wanted, he could reach into my pocket, and he could pull out everything I have and say, this is what I'm going to take to fund this crazy thing. In fact, somebody said, hey, what if God wanted to reach in your pocket and pull out $500,000 to fund the whole thing? I said, well, my pockets don't have that much in them. He'd come up empty. All right, but God could easily do that. He could rip everything away. And for some of us, that's happened. Because everything we have is God's. Everything we get is from God. And everything eventually goes back to God. But here's the crazy thing. What we've been learning, what Julie and I've been learning, is God is actually using this journey to help identify for us what our priority is. He chooses to invite us to be a part of it. We have to make a conscious choice because he's saying, through this journey, through how you respond, I'm going to reveal to you what your priority is. And I'm going to be honest with you, it's not easy. In fact, I've been very uncomfortable about the decisions we've come to. I've been very uncomfortable. I mean, you know, when we made this commitment, when we sat down again last night and processed through this on the couch, I've been very uncomfortable. I didn't walk away from the conversation saying, wow, good, I'm glad we figured that out. I'm comfortable with it. I walked away saying to Julie, I am very uncomfortable with what this means. I am very uncomfortable with what this means for our family, with how God's going to need to continue to show up in order for us to fulfill this. And what I also know is that if we don't make this kind of commitment, the mission of this church could be jeopardized. I know that our kids' rooms are full and that we have increased numbers of kids in this community that we want to impact. And for us to do that, we need a place that allows us to have environments that expand beyond what we have in this school. I know that we have a student ministry that we just launched that doesn't have a home. There's no space for them to meet here. And so they're meeting in homes because the house of Crosspoint is not built yet. I know that there's things that we can't do, people we can't connect with this in this community, people that we can't develop in this community in the way that we feel God's asking us to until we get into that new home. And for me, I step back and I say, that's unacceptable. I mean, personally, for me, I'm talking Kurt, it's unacceptable for me as a follower of Christ to follow my own comfort and say, I'm comfortable with this when there's people all around us that God says, I'm asking you to get uncomfortable for. I don't know about you, but I've second-guessed this a few times, I'm being honest. I mean, these things we've been working through over the last few weeks, and I'm not comfortable with it. And it's what we feel we need to do. As I thought about this, I began to have a different thought. I began to realize I'm actually more uncomfortable with reneging on what God asked me to do. I'm actually more uncomfortable as I began to think about, what if I don't obey God? What if I don't obey God, does that mean I just don't care about people who don't know God in our community? Does that mean that I don't believe that there's a literal hell and people all around me are going to it? I mean, does it mean that I really don't trust God? Does it mean that I'm more interested in my own comfort and my money in my pocket than I am in loving God with my stuff? I mean, does it mean that my life is really more about myself and not about others? I mean, I began to get more uncomfortable with those statements than I was with the commitment that we were making. And what I began to realize is I'll be more uncomfortable with being comfortable. Does that make sense? I'll be more uncomfortable with being comfortable with my stuff around me than if we make this uncomfortable decision. And what's unique, just to get the heartbeat of this community, is this is a trend that is why this church exists today. Because there were people when this community started that said, hey, we're gonna take risks. This church has a history of making sacrificial risks to get it off the ground. In fact, you know, when we first started this place, I mean, we had two financial partners that basically said, hey, we're going to fund this community for 3 years, Church of the Crossing and Indiana Ministries. They said, we're going to fund this church community for 3 years, and in the first year, what we're funding will basically pay your salary, Kurt and Julie. It'll pay your salary for 1 year, and if it doesn't get off the ground, then I guess it's lights out, move on to something else. And so we knew for 1 year our salary was going to be paid. So, I mean, there was some risk. We left a stable church to come and start something new that had a lot of risk involved. And we knew we had a salary for at least 1 year and everything else we had to raise beyond that. And then people began to join this. And people sacrificially gave of their time, gave of their money in order to make this thing happen. And then there came this point where God realized, as we were preparing for launch, that we needed this couple named PJ and Angie Tao. And PJ was working at Church of the Cross. He had a good paycheck coming from a stable church that had a stable financial position. It was something he knew was going to be there. And God started knocking on the door of their hearts. And he started knocking on our hearts as well. And the only thing I could say to PJ is, man, we feel like this is where you're supposed to be, but we don't have any money to pay you. And PJ and Andrew were left with the reality of, if we follow this crazy dream that God's calling us to, it means I have to quit my stable income. They fasted for a number of weeks. And they said, God, this is where we're going. I'm resigning, we're going, we're giving up the paycheck. All they knew was Angie's teacher salary, which if you know teachers, you know that it's not a lot. And PJ picked up a day job at FedEx Kinko's so that he could full-time volunteer here at Crosspoint until we could pay him. I mean, this place is built on people that have said, I'm going to give up something I love, something that brings stability, so that I can give to something I love more. And so over the last few weeks, you know, as we've been talking about sacrifice, I've had a number of conversations. People have been saying, you know, what does it look like to make a sacrificial commitment? Help me understand and grasp what that looks like. Let me give you a few suggestions, a few ideas, a few things I've been hearing people talk about, a few things you might consider. You know, many of us eat out at least once a month or once a week. You know, you might say, I'm going to eat out less. I'm going to eat out. If I eat out 3 times a week, I'm going to eat out one less time each week over the next 3 years, save $30, $40 a meal. And over the course of 1 month, that's $120, $150 immediately. That's a pretty sizable contribution because you're giving up something you enjoy for something you love more with minimal impact. You know, you might give up some of your entertainment options. Say, what are the entertainment options I have? How many movies do I go to a month? Can I forgo a few of those? Do I have a country club membership, something I invest in that I love? Could I forgo that for the next few years because there's something else that I love more? Maybe you have season tickets to something. It's something you love to do, but maybe God's saying, hey, could you give this up for a period of time because my house is in ruin and I'd like you to turn that investment into my house? You know, for some of us, we can anticipate a pay raise in the next year. And maybe you say, you know, whatever my pay raise is going to be, I kind of generally know what that might be. I'm going to give all of my pay raises over the next 3 years. Whatever I make above and beyond what I'm making right now is going to go to my crazy campaign. Maybe you can say, I need some of that, but I'm going to give a portion of that. That's sacrificial. You've already earmarked how you might use that should you get that. You know, for some of us, we're used to having a new car every 2 or 3 years. You might say, you know, can you endure your current car for